1 Samuel chapter 16, if you would, please. We're going to begin in verse 14. If you found your place, please stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able. 1 Samuel and chapter 16, and I'll read, you follow along silently, verses 14 through 23. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man, who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit came from God, was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. This evening, I'd like to help us develop this characteristic in our lives of being prudent. The Bible says here that that David was known to be a man prudent in matters. In other words, he could figure them out. He could put to action what was necessary to get things accomplished. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I want you to think about your life. What are you going to do with the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that you have gained in God's word? You see, that's what prudent is. Doing with those things. It's the action part of those other things. And we need to be prudent as believers in Christ in this day and age, so that people will learn to glorify God because of our actions. That people will learn to come to Jesus Christ because of what we decide to do and how we decide to do it. That they'll see a difference in how we are in our lives, because that's kind of what prudent is all about. So here in the book of 1 Samuel, you have kind of an idea of what's going on. You're going through and you're reading, you know, about Samuel and if you want to, you kind of start with Eli and his sons and the travesty that was, and how God used Samuel to kind of write those things and change things for Israel. And then, you know, gets into Samuel's life, and toward the ending of it, the people want a king like everybody else. You know, and they go to God and they go to Samuel and they say, Hey, give us, we want a king. We don't, well, God's your king. Well, we want a real king. Whoa, isn't that what they said? More or less, right? I think that was a mistake. Samuel did too. But God said, go ahead, let him do it. So he gave him one. The ultimate king. Right? Had the look, had the actions, had all, just like a king should. Kind of. They got Saul. And for a while he did well. But then when he got too big for his britches, that's in between, that's in the, you know, there, he ended up going the wrong direction. The kingdom was rent from him, right? And if you kind of pick up things and you get through here and you go into chapter 15, and God rejects Saul, and you get into chapter 16, and Samuel sent to Bethlehem, the city of David, right? That's what we call Bethlehem. You understand that Bethlehem and this man Jesse and all his sons, And Samuel's there looking for the next king. And he goes through the brothers, right? And all these, and he says, hey, as this, all, God says, no, 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 no. You know, I guess you could call Eliab Saul 2.0, right? I mean, he had the look, and surely this is the one. No, Samuel, I look on the heart, not the outward appearance. We did that already, don't you remember? And he gets all the way down, and he says, hey, don't you have any more? Well, yeah, he had the little sheep keeper boy. You don't want him. Bring him in, we'll wait. As soon as he walked in the door, God said, that's the one. This ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, this was all done, right? And all these things happen. And we understand that this happened. And at the same time, because that was in verses 1 through 13, and in verse 14, Saul has this trouble and this difficulty of this evil spirit tormenting him. He says, I need someone to help me. Actually, his servants went to him and said, hey, you need someone to help you, king. And they gave him some counsel to look to this young man, the man that we know of as the one after God's own heart, the chosen one of Israel, the one that God made covenant with, David. But it says in all of his characteristics that were noticed by these servants, or this particular servant, he said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. Check. Okay? He could play the harp. He was good at it. And then he says, a mighty and valiant man, and a man of war. Now, I always thought this was interesting, don't you? Because if you read through this, how many of you as a kid, right? You're David and Goliath, right? That happens after this. This servant that gave testimony of David said, hey, he can play the harp, but he's a mighty and a valiant man. A man of war. And later on we see that David became Saul's armor bearer. You know, I always thought, why did Saul so readily accept David as the champion to go out and to fight Goliath? Any of you kids ever thought that? Because I had never read this story before it. Well, he was familiar with him. He already knew what he was. And he came as advertised. Because when that evil spirit came, he played. And when Goliath came, he went to war. He did it. That's what this testimony of this servant, he said. But then he said this too, and all this is of course an introduction. It says he is prudent in matters. And a comely person. Now we know that he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. But he was also one that could foresee and plan and engage in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. He was prudent in matters. You see, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. God wants us to be prudent in the things that we choose. To be cautious. To be circumspect. To be practically wise. To be careful of the consequences of enterprise, measure, or action. Cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility, or probably impracticable. Are we going to be prudent in what we do? You see, there are so many things that we can do But is now the time to do them or not? Is now the time to say that or not? Is now the time to go that direction or not? That's what prudence is. It's acting upon the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom that God has ordained. So just very quickly, just in three categories, for sake of time, we're going to look at being prudent in the Christian life. First of all, we must be prudent in our ways. I read Proverbs 14:8 to you. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. Later on in that same chapter of Proverbs, verses 15 through 18, Solomon goes on to say, the simple believeth every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. You see, our way, the way that we behave ourselves in this world, the path we choose to walk, needs to be done prudently. We need to choose wisely. We need to order ourselves and keep ourselves in God's way, because that's what the prudent does. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So we need to understand the way we're going. You know this about the Bible and what it says about our way. Jeremiah said, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21, it says, woe unto all them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own ways and prudent in their own sight. Okay, so we have to set that aside, and we have to turn to that which is prudent and right according to what God says. You see, Eliab had a problem. He had a pride problem, didn't he? David? Not so much. Hey, I know your naughtiness. You came down here to see the fight. Is there not a cause? David said. You see, and God kind of led us into Eliab's life, and he said, no, this is not him. Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So you could say that Eliab was probably one of these that was spoken of here in Isaiah, that did these things, and they were wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And what did David follow? He followed God's ways and did things his way. You see, we need to learn to walk in his ways if we're going to be prudent, cautious, wise, practical, careful. Because you know what? That's the sure thing, is understanding the ways of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 12, the Bible tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all, in all wisdom and prudence. You know, God wants us to have abundance of wisdom and prudence. Then he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, it's about his purpose. And he's given us abundance of wisdom and an abundance of prudence so that we can follow his will and his way for our life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Paul said in Romans, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to
His purpose.
Solomon said in Proverbs 22, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. God wants us to be prudent in our ways. What direction we go in life, how we go about things, why we do what we do, needs to be done in prudence. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. A few more verses from Psalms and Proverbs. Solomon said, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. He said, you read that already. Yeah, it's written twice. Are you careful about your ways? Do you recognize temptation, snares, evil, wicked paths? Because the simple pass on and are punished. And don't forget, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Are you there in Romans 11? Look at verse 33. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, that just speaks of the prudence of our ways. Calculating, carefully choosing, walking circumspectly, being cautious, being careful of the consequences and of the enterprise and measure and action of our life. Being cautious not to act when the end is doubtful of utility and or practicality. We've got to make sure that we make the wise choice. We're supposed to wait on the Lord, are we not? We're supposed to follow his path, are we not? Who does that? Prudent Christians do that. To further emphasize, remember what Isaiah 55 said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God wants us to know the right way to choose. He gives us the right way to choose, but we must choose it. That's being prudent. Hey, you got knowledge? Great. You got wisdom? Great. You got understanding? Great. Now put it to action. That's prudence. Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So first of all, we need to be prudent in our ways. Secondly, We need to be prudent in our words. Our words. Hey, truth is truth. Everybody okay with that? It's truth. But is it always prudent to give out that truth all the time? Not always. I remember when I was teaching in the Harvesters program, you know, kids can be blatantly honest about things, can't they? I just out in public, you know, some of my little ones, they know what's truth, right? They don't have a filter here, and they need to learn that. but they'll say, "Why does that boy have long hair? You know what? Why is that girl wearing pants?" And they say it loud enough for them to hear. You're like, "Yes, that's true, but that's not how we want to go about that." Okay, you know, what is that? That's prudence. Hey, listen, when you're out knocking on doors and someone says, you say to somebody, "If you die today, do you know for sure I go to heaven?" And they say, "Well, I'm a Catholic." Now, chances are, if they're just believing in Catholicism, that they're lost. You and I both know that. But it's not, I don't think, the prudent thing to do to say, "Well, you're going to hell then." Is that the truth? More than likely, yes. Was that really how you want to go about it? You know what you're going to get? You're going to get punched in the nose, door slammed in your face, or who knows what else. That's not the way to go about it. We need to be tactful in how we do things. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm just talking about using the old noodle here. Okay? We've got to be prudent in our words. In Psalm 19, David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In Psalm 34, he says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." In Proverbs 12, Solomon says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." In Proverbs 29, Solomon goes on to say, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." You know what that is? That's prudence. That's being prudent. You've kind of maybe heard it said more in our terms that you pick and choose your battles. You know, there are times to say things, and there are times not to say things. You just got to be wise. It doesn't mean you're a compromiser. It doesn't mean that you're a pushover. It just means that you've learned what you're doing and making the most of it. In Proverbs 13, Solomon says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." Aren't we not ambassadors for Christ? And a faithful ambassador is health. You know, an ambassador of a country knows when to say what they're supposed to say. Why? To continue the relations between said country and other country. Do you really want to shut lost people off? Do you really want to turn them off for the gospel forever? So that they never want to consider Christ ever again? You say, no, Brother Combs, no Christian would do that. Yeah? We've studied this many times before. But that old tongue needs to be bridled. As a kid, we, in Sunday school, and Mrs. Wolverton and Mrs. Parks, I'm sure you guys probably sing this song to the kids. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in the... Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. That's prudent. Being wise and prudent with our words. In Proverbs 16, Solomon says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. What could you ask for as far as the description of being prudent with our words? How about this? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3. You've got to flip more quickly because we're running out of time. I still have one more point left. We've gone over this passage before, so I'll just quickly read through it. Look at verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I think James is trying to encourage us to be prudent with our words. And then lastly, not only prudent in our ways and prudent in our words, but prudent in our works. In our works. You know that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, we are supposed to be doing something with this life that God has paid for. Right? So what? We need to be prudent with it. We need to be circumspect with it. We need to deal with it carefully. practically, being careful of the consequences of the enterprise, measure, or actions that we are about. You know what? Anybody understand the theory or the principle of cause and effect? Right? We need to be aware of what things that we're doing in this life. Is that the best use of my time? Is this what God wants me to do? Am I going to be most efficient? Am I going to receive a commendation of, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I've been given five, and I've earned five more. You know what that is? Prudent. I've been given two, and I've earned two more. That's prudent. I've been given one, and I did nothing with it. That's not prudent. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. You could read through all of Proverbs chapter 8, but did you notice that wisdom dwells with prudence? And they do something with it. In Proverbs 22, we read this about a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Do you really want to just fall over stumbling block after stumbling block after stumbling block after stumbling block after stumbling block in your life? We need to be prudent about our lives. In Proverbs 27, Solomon says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Over in Isaiah 5, we read about those that call evil good and good evil. We don't need to be like that. We need to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. In Hosea 14, it says, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Remember what David and his testimony we talked about in our text, right? That he was prudent in matters. In other words, how he kept his sheep, how he took care of things. And listen, we see a principle in David's life. The times that it mentions that he left the sheep, he found a keeper for the sheep. He did. It was his responsibility. And as he went to the battlefield, he didn't hide like all the other mighty men. He went out to fight. When that evil spirit came upon Saul, he played and sang, and that spirit was removed. He did with his works what was prudent. In 2 Chronicles, there's a testimony here. Hiram said, moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that he might build an house for the Lord and an house for his kingdom. You know what David successfully did? He taught to his son the things of God. Wisdom, prudence, understanding, knowledge. What did Solomon ask for? Yeah, wisdom and understanding to judge the people. God wants us to be prudent in our works. Just kind of in closing, think about the Proverbs 31 woman. I don't have time to read all of it. You may know it all already. But can I tell you something? Line after line, sentence after sentence, item after item, she's prudent in her works. She is. We need to be that kind of person. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Remember what Jesus said in a parable to the people? He said, which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. And all that beheld it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and counteth whether he should be able with 10,000 men to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We need to count the cost. We need to be prudent in our works. One more passage and we'll be done. Remember what is said about our life. According to the grace of God, Paul says, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. You know what that is? Be prudent. Take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Prudent in our ways, prudent in our words, and prudent in our works. I think we see in the testimony of David and what this servant saw, this son of Jesse, this Bethlehemite. Well, he was cunning and playing and a mighty and valiant man and a man of war, a comely person. The Lord is with him. But he mentioned that he was prudent in matters. I hope you think about this characteristic and assess in your life how you're doing with it. I'm going to guess, because the same is true for me, that we all could do a little better. Think on those things tonight.